Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Stocks taking aim at a two-month high near the best closing levels of the year as Goldman, B of A, J&J roll in. Europe's near a 14-month high as China's eco data is stronger than expected. More chatter about global economic resilience. Our roadmap begins with a mixed picture for the banks, though. B of A tops estimates. Goldman does deliver this revenue miss, dragged down by its Marcus loans.
Plus Elon Musk's AI warning, saying it has, quote, the potential of civilization destruction. And Apple's big push for a new generation of iPhone users beginning in India today with its first store opening in that country.
Let's begin, though, with market reaction to the earnings from B of A and Goldman. Jim, is it as ugly a beat on Goldman as they say?
No, it's not. Look, it's a $66 million revenue miss when you back out, and this is these really difficult provision you have to take for the Marcus loans versus selling the loans. It's a their smaller investor loan package. And that some people are saying, listen, they're fixing them, they're trading, not is very big letdown. No. Last year at this time, they had the best single quarter in history. So you're up against very difficult compare. This is actually a top decile quarter from when they've come public for FIG. Look, did they blow the revenues away? Absolutely not. Did they miss by as much as people are saying?
No, although fixed income, currency, and commodities was down 17%.
Yeah, but that's against the huge quarter.
It was still down more than any of the analysts who follow the company had anticipated. It was still down more, certainly, than J.P. Morgan saw or any of its peers, no. Jim.
Remember, this
and
is not an impact,
it's not being
though.
Taken as a positive, I'll tell you
no,
that.
No, I'm just saying that, look, the stock's going to be down a lot today. Is it going to stop down 12? I don't know. I'm just saying that Goldman, this was not a great quarter for Goldman, in part because of the way Goldman's built as a company. It's not a NIM bank. It's not, you know, look at net interest income. Was wealth management what I like? I mean, every little line was not great. It's just that this stock's going to be down maybe 15. And I'm interested in it at that level.
Why is that? Sorry,
well,
Carl.
I'm interested because I just don't think, okay, I'll tell you why. And this is apropos of where I feel about some stuff I'm going to say about Brian Moynihan. I just don't think you could have as bad a quarter for the businesses that Goldman has than they had this one. I just think there's investment advisory, M&A, IPO, are really what I'm going to say are cycle lows. I think they're cycle lows. And if you think that, then Goldman's kind of interesting, down 15.
I'd be down 26.
That's a lot.
Operating expenses up 9 when your revenue's down 5.
The efficiency ratio is not good, but because the revenues are lower than they should be, and that they have some room there. By the way, look, if you want efficiency ratio, the one that you should be looking at is watch how Wells' efficiency, which I like efficiency ratio as a way to view these banks. Wells' efficiency ratio is so inflecting, it's perfect. I love that.
Really? Faster than Citi's?
Yes. Wells is really, I mean, Wells, Charlie Sharp did a big bond offering last night. You know, he's getting a little bit above the 10.
Yeah.
But Wells is good, man.
No, I know. You came out of the quarter saying it was good. The market kind of disagreed with you a bit.
The market then yesterday lapped my view up like a Labrador Retriever.
And we'll see whether over the next few days Goldman sort of reverses the way you think it may.
Well, but
right now, listen, people don't like the comp ratio either, saying it was a little, the comp
there
ratio was
no,
a little
nothing
higher.
Nothing that was great.
No, nothing was great.
Nothing was great.
And then you're trying to, to your point, you're trying to figure out what they had their reserve release because they did.
I bought that.
Because they did sell that significant portion of loans they made on the Marcus portfolio, on the Marcus platform.
Remember, they sold the loans for much better than people thought.
Right.
They're not going to get any credit for that because who the heck cares? That's not why you buy Goldman Sachs. But I'm just saying that if you think that there's going to be more M&A, if you think there's going to be more, you know, maybe an IPO.
And if you think capital markets are going to start to come back, right.
Right, that's
then
all.
You may want to own. May want to own Goldman.
Thank you. And that, I'm saying down 15.
That's not me saying that. That's just the
thesis. No, I'm saying down 15 if you think that. That's why you would buy it. Look, if you want a great bank, I can give you Bank of America, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan. I'll even give you Citi. I got a lot of banks I want to buy. Those are a lot of good ones. Those are big ones.
Well, you want to talk about B of A then a little bit?
Or? B of A, a double beat. Consumer spend up 9 year on year. They do see credit card delinquencies returning to Q4 19 levels. And Brian Moynihan talked about consumer access to credit on the call.
After slowing the back half of 22 a bit, we saw the pace of payments pick back up in quarter one, especially in the latter parts of the quarter. Consumers' financial positions remains generally healthy. They're employed with generally higher wages, continue to have strong account balances, and have good access to credit.
Now, there you did have the best FICC in about 10 years.
But then I said everyone squawking the shit, looking through my notes with them. I thought this was Brian Moynihan's best quarter ever.
Best quarter ever?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Well, because every single line was good versus what I thought they could do. But we have 50, you know that their loans losses is a 53-year low?
No, I did
and
not
that's
know
why
that.
And that's why I'm saying it's best. Because here you got, you could say them, they're the largest, or JP Morgan's the largest. JP Morgan's the largest, we're the largest. But consumer bank with a 53-year low in loan losses?
To that point, the CFO on the call, which is ongoing.
He's cool.
Talking about real estate, commercial real estate, as our viewers know, of course, that has been a continues to be and will be a focus for many investors given expected losses. He said we had a total of 66 million of commercial real estate losses in 2022. 70% of that was in office loans. I mean, that's very
so small.
How much do they have? $73 billion in commercial real estate loans outstanding.
You're on board.
So less than 7% of their loan book. It's highly diversified by geography. No part of the country represents more than 22% of the book. And they said in the first quarter, to give some perspective, our office loan losses were $15 million. Doesn't mean they aren't going to pick up, because they will.
But let's kick down commercial real estate. Best. Mortgage portfolio for houses. Beautiful shape. Car sales, car loans, fantastic.
Okay.
The credit card, extraordinary. What am I going to do? I can't poke a hole in it.
You know, Goldman had an impairment of $355 million related to consolidated real estate investments.
Well,
that seems to be a bit of a concern as well.
They had a 17-year portfolio, right? A portfolio built, it's been on their books for 17 years, and some of the stuff is in development, didn't work. So they're cleaning up that business, too.
Okay.
Should never have been on their balance sheet. I don't know why it was on their balance sheet. It'll be off their balance sheet. You're going to get a very clean Goldman Sachs after we have this kind of hard rain that's going to fall.
Dylan.
Exactly.
Nice. BNY Mellon, better than State Street might have led you to believe.
Yeah. BNY Mellon did not, I mean, I know this sounds like ridiculous, but not as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
There you go.
Revenue up 11.
Hey, we're not that bad.
Average deposits down 3.
But yesterday we saw, like, State Street, some of these banks, they're not built for this market either.
Right.
Because they have the tremendous outflows. Were you guys on the Schwab call?
I did read the Schwab call. It was taking place yesterday during our show.
It didn't get enough press. No one's talking about it. I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah, you should. I felt like we didn't spend enough time on it yesterday.
This was the most combative call. After every single positive, they then talked about an article that was put, a journalist that got it wrong, a firm that planted this, a competitor that did that. It was either the most paranoid, psychotic call in history, or everyone was really out to get Schwab. And I'm beginning to think that everyone was out to get him.
I think you tweeted that it was important for the Bears.
Well, because, I mean, when you go through it, it's like, and this was wrong, and this was wrong, and our competitor put this out, and this was wrong, and I don't know how they could have gotten this. And it was a litany of basically a raid. People raided Schwab.
That's their view.
Their view.
No,
I'm telling you.
They were under attack from their competitors, and they were spreading lies.
But I felt at the end, first I said, boy, these guys are paranoid. By the end of it, I said, no, it's true.
Well, listen, on these kinds of things, it is important to fight back.
I thought it was great the way they fought back. And I liked every, did they have, so then of course the Bears made some, they had deposit alpha. That was not the point. The point was that everyone felt that they had the wrong duration risk. It wasn't even that bad. Everyone felt that they were just reckless in the way that they handled all the deposits. They weren't at all. Everyone thought that the bank, the small bank, could bring the big company down. They had a huge amount of money in. All I can tell you is that if you're a believer that this raid period is over, and I think a bunch of the CEOs think it's over, that one is a coiled spring.
It has not recovered from the declines that took place in early March.
But anybody buys you must read the conference call.
And it didn't really move yesterday either, after all that.
No, and the call was like, listen, here's all the lies that have been told about
me. But, Jim, there is still a lot of concern about their earnings power, once again, to come back to that. Their ability to really... growth. We had an analyst on later in the show yesterday who was talking about that.
They don't have the earnings power right now, but this acquisition that they made, they got Ameritrade business.
The Ameritrade.
I think. By the way,
when it comes to deposits, guys, given we were so focused on it, we obviously saw J.P. Morgan take in more than would have been anticipated in any other period, given the tumult that took place in early March. But B of A holding steady at about $1.9 trillion.
Think about that.
I know. The number is staggering. But, Jim, it didn't...
They took in a half trillion since...
It didn't take in the kind of money that J.P. Morgan did. It really did go to J.P. Morgan.
It might as well be 1906, okay?
B of A, $1.9 trillion in deposits. That's one institution.
Yeah. Junius Morgan was a brilliant man. Just so you know.
We'll wrap up more of the banks later on. In the meantime, we have a much-anticipated major courtroom showdown. Dominion's $1.6 billion defamation trial against Fox News set to get underway after a one-day delay. Our Eamon Javers is outside Delaware Superior Court in Wilmington with the latest. Morning, Eamon.
Good morning, Carl. This is the day one of what we expect to be a 5 or 6 weeks trial that will shape the legacy of Rupert Murdoch, one of the most powerful media moguls of our era, whose conservative TV media empire has been badly damaged by revelations in this case so far, and who faces the prospect of paying more than $1 billion in damages if this case goes wrong. After a one-day delay, we're now set to get underway here at 9 a.m. on the seventh floor of Superior Court in Delaware, where a team of Fox attorneys just walked in. They've faced a series of adverse rulings from the judge, who said it's crystal clear that none of the 20 disputed statements on Fox about election fraud at Dominion were true. And the Fox legal team has also been forced to apologize for failing to provide accurate information about Rupert Murdoch's exact role at Fox, an apology the judge said last night that he will accept, and he considers the matter closed now. Fox shares were up a bit on the day yesterday, as investors may have been heartened by the idea that was swirling around out there that there might be a deal to avoid a lengthy trial. Looks like that didn't happen. So far, the case has revealed damaging internal Fox emails and communications that appear to reveal how Rupert Murdoch himself was struggling to chart a path through the post-election period for Fox News, dealing with Trump's defeat on the one hand, and managing a Fox audience that just didn't want to hear the bad news about their preferred candidate on the other hand. On December 7th, 2020, Murdoch emailed Fox News Media CEO Suzanne Scott, saying increasingly questionable rhetoric from former President Trump was, quote, making it harder to straddle the issue. We should talk through this, he wrote. Very difficult. And today, Fox is beginning another very difficult period, hoping now that Dominion fails to persuade a jury here that the network acted with actual malice against them. I'm told Dominion lawyers will lay out their exact rationale for the company's claim of $1.6 billion in damages during their opening arguments later this morning. Back to you guys from a very windy Wilmington, Delaware. Carl?
Eamon, appreciate that. Of course, no video, no cameras, right. So we'll be relying on a lot of reporting from within.
That's right.
There's the questions about Murdoch's legacy, right. The operating model there, and then libel law, the future of libel law.
Look, the people who watch Fox, I think, are not going to be impacted. But I think people have to understand that the standard is so high here, which is basically, David, you actually just, the standard is that you knew and you deliberately lied.
Yeah, it's got to be malice.
Right. But I'm saying that if Dominion wins, the standard is so difficult to ever meet that you really had to be out of your mind lying, is what I'm saying.
Right. Well, that's
actual
what the jury
malice.
Is going to be deciding
actual
because
malice.
Because the judge has already made a lot of those decisions, right, Carl, as Eamon indicated. Right. But it's up to the jury to decide that very point.
But, like, almost nobody can ever prove actual malice. It's almost impossible.
Even with the email chain or text chain
saying that if you see that Fox loses this,
yep,
it's so egregious that you should even be willing to go on another network and say bad things about Fox and not fear about what they're going to say about you tonight. And that's where I am. I don't play for dinner, and I cannot believe this. I cannot. I mean, honestly, people, you got to understand. I've been a professional journalist for 50 years. I've never seen more actual malice than those emails. Do you know how hard it is to get that through? Do you know what kind of chain of command you must have to be able to lie with that level of impunity and think that it's good? Logan?
Logan is...
Even Kendall would never do this.
Never.
Maybe Rome.
Never.
I worked for Fox for a couple years. Yes. I got sued. It was fabulous. And, you know, like, that was with the great Roger Ailes, late Roger Ailes. I think he would not have been to this. I just don't think he would have gone there.
Really?
And I got sued by him, and we had a fabulously horrible relationship. I don't think you would have done.
When I started CNBC, Roger Ailes, 3 weeks later, started at CNBC.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No,
you brought him in?
For a while. I didn't have anything to do with it.
All I was that I worked there.
I was a 29-year-old who knew nothing.
I got, you know, they lost, whatever. I don't know. But this is such, no one will understand. It's just a polarized world. The
sure.
People who are backing Fox do not realize that this standard is almost impossible to meet. You have to be so wrong and so bad and so ingrained.
We're going to watch, obviously, huge development, one of the most important media trials in many years. A lot of other media news, including Disney and Netflix and our own parent Comcast today. We'll talk about AI, Elon Musk's take on the risks, and this double upgrade for NVIDIA over at HSBC. Take a look at futures here. We'll see if we can get close to the high close of the year, 41.79. Back in a moment.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists put people at the heart of everything they create. Like Olu Sheyi, a Comcast engineer who grew up bonding with his dad over sports. This inspired him and his team to create AI Highlights technology that uses AI and machine learning to detect the major plays in a sporting event, so millions of fans have a way of catching up on their favorite sports. Learn more at ComcastCorporation.com.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
I'm going to start something which I don't know, you could call Truth GPT or a maximum truth-seeking AI that tries to understand the nature of the universe. And I think this might be the best path to safety in the sense that an AI that cares about understanding the universe it is unlikely to annihilate humans because we are an interesting part of the universe, hopefully.
That's Elon Musk last night on Fox with Tucker Carlson talking about AI, saying he plans to create an alternative to ChatGPT called Truth GPT, Jim. Well, he says it's more dangerous in aggregate than bad aircraft, badly designed cars.
Well, I think it's yes. I think anyone would say that in the wrong hands, this is incredibly dangerous because it could be the end of dissent. You could just...
It's more than in the wrong hands. It's even in the right hands.
Well,
because there's a competition going on to continue to make AI, and it will become more and more powerful. These large language models will only continue to grow, and the data available to them, the computing computing power and everything else. I mean, Musk, listen, I agree with him on this. You guys know that. Well, yeah, because he's been the most concerned, right? He dropped out of OpenAI a few years ago after being one of the founders of it. He's the most concerned. And I mean, that last word, hopefully.
Look, I wanted to see if I could do one of these, set up what he's doing. So I enter into ChatGPT with Jeff Marks. Jeff Marks does it, my colleague. How much would it cost for me to set up an AI factory like this? Using the H100s, which are the $20,000, okay? Those are the chips that cost so much that NVIDIA makes. And it came back, and the data stopped in September 2021. First, it gave me an answer, and it told me how much, and it was huge. And then it corrected itself and said, look, I'm sorry, I don't have the current data. So, I mean, I think that our reliance on this thing is beginning to be overblown.
Well, the data set does, if you go to it, you're not going to get much about 2022 in there. Well, no, it's 2021 is sort of where that data set ended.
The world stood still after that?
Of course not. Of course not. But it can still be very helpful with a lot of different things.
No, it is. It's just that I'm getting pushback from people saying, Jim, you think that this is just going to be slotted in. It's just not going to happen as fast. So maybe that gives the muscle of the world a chance to catch their breath. This thing is not just electric.
It may. He's got a different approach, as he says, in terms of truth than he believes.
What is he worried about? Goebbels will take it over?
He's worried about the big thing, that the human species will be eradicated by an AI that gains consciousness and is
smarter. You can't shut it off. Tucker actually says you won't be able to shut it off.
That's Skynet.
It is. And we spent a lot of time on it. We've had plenty of guests who say we're way too focused on that. That's nowhere near where we are right now. That may very well be the case.
Okay, well, how about this?
Musk is not bad at sort of thinking about things into the future.
On my side. Terrific.
I go back and forth. Yes, I disagree with him occasionally.
You're arbitrary and mercurial.
No, I'm not. I tend to just listen to him. I've always respected him from the point of view of a businessman.
Mr. Davis from Merck last night, talking to Mr. McKenna, talking about Prometheus, that this could be the way we're going to cure a lot of cancers with.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you didn't take it here. This is where you should have taken it.
I was saving that for
NVIDIA.
We had a bet going how long it would take to Jim.
You totally missed NVIDIA. What's wrong with you? Your brain is usually AI, NVIDIA.
I was trying to channel it into something more valuable.
All right.
Well, you're going to get Cramer's Mad Dash in a minute, and we'll talk about this double upgrade for NVIDIA over at HSBC. Some pretty astounding revenue projections. Take a look at futures as we kick off the second trading day of the week. Don't go away.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration. Our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Got some pretty powerful Chinese eco data last night. Q1 GDP 4.5, looking for 4. Retail sales up 10.6. We were looking for 7. With that, you see some yields climbing around the world, including our own 10-year, almost back to 3.6. Opening bell coming up in 4.5 minutes.
Welcome back. Let's get to a Mad Dash. You know, we talked AI in the last block of our show, but he didn't mention NVIDIA. Somehow I think we'll get to it now.
I am going to do something a little unexpected because that's the nature of us. Remember, we want people to say, what did he say? Logan's final speech. When you have a guy who capitulates from sell to buy, I will grant you that it's more logical, as Ben Stotto, my colleague, would say from Mad Money, that this is a top. And
yes,
this was just some real bad thinking by a man who, HSBC is disruptive technology. The most disruptive technology in the world is NVIDIA, and he had a sell on it. But what I find shocking is he's using revenue growth that they're not going to make.
It's that high. Well, he's assuming the price of the chips they're providing for AI is skyrocketing.
Yes, Kelly. I'm trying to get a list price. Right now they're saying it's $20,000 per card for the H100, and you need a massive number of cards to do what Musk is doing or what any of these guys are doing with this stuff. Because everybody, Microsoft must be buying, I don't know how many, but they have a deal.
Yeah.
But what I don't like about this piece, David, is he's shocked about the pricing power. Why? I mean, you can figure out the pricing power. There's like a listed price on pricing power. So what really happened here was he was thinking that data center is, frankly, head of technology. He was thinking that data center was slowing, so you don't want to be in the stock. And that's true. Okay. So what I'm saying is two things. One is that his premise was right, that data center was slowing. And the second is that no one realized that they'd be able to have the kind of pricing power they have in the H100, particularly after our government said they couldn't sell them to the Chinese.
Now, he literally says we were shocked at the pricing power.
Cool.
But he's talking about $16 billion in incremental revenue in the next 2 years.
Yeah, see, he's using a $52 billion number when people think it's going to be $40 billion. Out 2 years from now.
Wow. So. Well, he really did reverse sell to
I don't know
having a number that's well above the street.
But what the company's told me is this. If you want an H100, there's a substantial number of people before you, and we don't know if we can get to you. Meaning that, frankly, there's just the supply and demand ratio is insane. But remember, they're the designer. It's Taiwan Semi that makes it.
But your point's an important one, because you know who does have a lot of H100s for his AI?
Musk.
Yes, Musk.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No, that's why I'm saying, that's when I asked ChatGPT, could I be like Musk? That was already wrong, because that's like, are you kidding me? It was laughing at me. So ChatGPT was like, this idiot. But the fact is that, yes, you need a lot of H100. You need the power of the H100. And that's why it works. And I remember, remember when I said that I went to NVIDIA and he said, go ahead. Jensen Huang said, go ahead, ask him whatever you want for painting. I said, I want to Cezanne seascape, which he never did. And boom, it like designed what Cezanne might have done. I too thought it was a parlor game. Until I realized the second time and the third time. And no one was paying any attention until this ChatGPT.
Right.
He had it for years. He did. He had it 2 years ago. You could say silly things to it. And now you could say like, okay, how many people do I really need to do copywriting at my ad agency? 7.
Or, as Apollo mentioned last night, the new white paper about whether or not you can use it to beat the stock market. Right?
I know. I mean, I think that, well, there's probably a lot of companies who are going to try to do that. I think that I'd like to see how it does
with
betting.
There was another piece out about a month ago that I read that said it was better at creating a diversified portfolio. Not about picking, but simply about the actual diversity.
Well, that makes sense.
Than is typical.
Because the SIC company, the codes are not as good.
Maybe.
It can do better.
But it's very much unclear whether it would be successful in actually picking stocks, at least at this point.
Dave, you know young. There's no young people. There's kind of an age thing going. But you know, I don't know a young person who would send a resume out without running it through. ChatGPT.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like you're supposed to do it now, and that the people who get resumes will look at it and know, wow, didn't they know anything about ChatGPT? And it's an extraordinary thing how the younger people adoption of this thing. It's for lower level things, but I think that what's happened is that it's going to come from bottom up. And I know Bank of America feels the same way. You hire these young people, and they're going to tell you how to use it more than you know how to use it. You're actually getting this from CEOs, Dave. We have to hire younger people who know how to use this. From three different CEOs of major companies. Look, we're going to get young people in, and we're going to figure out what to do. As opposed to them. Because this is a generational thing like you've never seen, dude. Like you've never seen.
Well, true. I mean, I'm trying to use it regularly just to sort of get a sense for it, right? You are.
Yeah, but not like that. I mean, they're like in this formative stage of their life. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do in life. And if you wanted to be a writer or a copywriter or be anything skill set that might involve trying to explain things to people, I think that you may think maybe there's going to be no job for me because the machine can do it better than I can.
Explaining things to people, that's hitting close to home.
Well, that's who we're really. Have you ever read any of the stories that come out within 1 minute? You ever see the stories that come out within 1 minute about a company's earnings? And like they're like 80% right.
That's
and
not
they're
bad.
Happy. Wow, mine 80% right. Was it a cancer test, survivability?
I don't know where we are, but that sounds pretty good to me.
But I'm saying that they have that you see stories, everyone at home should realize that when you see a story about a complicated Goldman Sachs quarter, and it really says that it's a horrible quarter and then ticks down why, that's just GP, that's artificial intelligence,
not a
person.
Speaking of earnings, we got to Goldman and B of A. G&J, though, one of the worst performing Dow names at the moment, despite, Jim, this raised guidance where they do take their sales number up from 4 to 5.
It's really hard to believe. I thought it was an excellent quarter. MedTech was really good. Consumer was really good. The story is that people feel it's been boosted by the COVID vaccine. I disagree with that. The only thing you should be worried with this company is whether the agreement with the plaintiff's lawyers about talc and cancer gets approved and is a prepackaged bankruptcy of a little division, of this division. That's the only thing to worry. I'm a buyer of J&J right here. Chapter Trust owns it, and I'm a buyer.
LNT, I think that's at least a one-year high here, Jim, as they
they're doing
have
so
a double beat. They affirmed the guidance on the
year. Takeout is just terrific. There were some companies, some brokers that downgraded this stock in the last few months, worried about defense spend. But anybody who remembers him from American Tower, he's just a winner.
Jim Taklet,
he's terrific. And he knows how to, he took a company that's very good, he made it great. They have a lot of stuff you don't even know about that they're working on. That's, my box.
At Lockheed, well.
Northrop, too.
I mean, so much of defense now is really about AI. To get back to it, it's about artificial intelligence.
Well, that's why we didn't
competing
want the Chinese.
With the Chinese.
We didn't want the Chinese at the H-100.
Who are perhaps our equal when it comes to that, but obviously need and rely on those same advanced chips that we don't want them to have any longer.
I know. How about
although they, in a number of years could be designing their own chips and then just send them TSMC the same way NVIDIA does.
Well, yeah, that's what your worry is. I mean, I think that the biggest worry about Taiwan Semi, we get existential here, is that, if somehow the Chinese get it, that's how everything's made.
Yeah, that's where everything's made.
As we're talking, China's Commerce Ministry says they have banned executives from Raytheon and Lockheed from entering, working, staying, and residing in China since mid-February. We know they've already sanctioned.
But Raytheon, you're talking about major aerospace. Raytheon is Pratt & Whitney.
We are in a defense race with the Chinese.
Right.
We know that. And these are our main defense contractors.
But I'm just saying that if you have a lot of airplanes and you need Pratt & Whitney
you're talking about the commercial division,
of course.
Yeah,
I want to know. They're not banning those people. They'd be out of their minds.
I don't know, Jim. It's a good point.
Right? I mean, the service business, that business is you give them the engine, basically, and then you serve it a long-term contract. You can't afford to have safety people from
Pratt
& Whitney. Not
given how many airplanes they have that have those engines.
Do some work on that.
Although, Katie Huberty this morning looking at Asia economic growth compared to other developed markets by Q4 will be the biggest delta since 2017.
And that's why you got to buy Starbucks. Did you see that piece, that recommendation of Starbucks today? Which is that they're looking at train traffic and they're seeing mobility. And you know what happens, David, when you're waiting for the subway? You know what you do?
Yep, you buy a cup of Java.
There it is, Evercore or goes to tactical outperformance.
I think it's
very complicated drink.
Yeah.
Chinese GDP obviously did come in above
4.5. But more consumer than industrial.
Consumer-led, and so there is the question becomes, will it really be an engine for world economic growth if it's the consumer in China as opposed to obviously what has more typically been the case for the Chinese economy?
I know where you're going.
Where am I going?
Are they now late stage capitalists like us?
Don't know if I was going there, but it's an interesting question you raised.
We'll ask you during the commercial chat. Chat's 2 years behind. No, these are late stage capitalists. And where is their? It's Hermes, it's Richemont. I mean, it's Louis Vuitton.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's Bernard Arnault is the beneficiary
of the old China
of the
that
Chinese.
We liked with a 5-year plan where we polluted the world and produced a lot of bad steel.
Well, they are still putting up a lot of coal plants, as you know.
Yeah,
so
it's perfect.
They're still doing that.
Yeah.
A lot.
And biggest polluter. But you know what? That's okay, because they sell a lot of Prel.
Or how about Lulu? We had Calvin on the other day.
Oh, my God.
And now this mirror stuff.
Okay. Mirror off the wall. I mean, honestly, the stock went up when they announced the mirror acquisition, and now the stock goes up when they announced it. They might want, they haven't announced it. But Lulu, Calvin did say that there were issues. He did not say that it was doing perfectly. But I think Lulu is such a great stock here.
Should we explain what we're talking about, though, Carl?
We did.
Well, during the quarter, they had some metrics that looked at additional merch that they sold because you have a mirror client.
Yes.
Right? He said it was accretive, in a sense.
Right. Well, because what happens is they have subscriptions.
Right.
But I know that when you look at Peloton's doing better than Lulu at that hardware and then subscription model. I think Peloton's interesting. Barry McCarthy was one of the first to tell me that Mirror was not selling well. I think that the Mirror, people like to have it on their, they want it on their little device. The Mirror's really big, though. You can't take it with you.
I've never used it. I've seen it.
Oh, my daughter's on it every day. And it is, she loves the Mirror. So she's not your test group, so to say.
No.
But she likes the subscriptions. And that's exactly what Calvin said. This, and it did promote subscriptions, but now they don't really, the hardware's too expensive, too unwieldy. But wow, they've got a great business of just not having to go to the best gyms in the world, because when you go to those gyms, you know, everybody's so, it's a very intimidating thing to go to some of the gyms that, that they have as in their subscription, like Dog Pound.
It's intimidating just because people are all in very good physical condition.
Okay, so I went to a gym once for a while. And the patient right before me was Scarlett Johansson. And right after me was Calvin Klein. And I'm like, I can't go to this place anymore. I'm like, I can't. I'm not good looking enough to go to this gym. Well, that's what those, if you ask Calvin, he would say, listen, these are all the gyms that a lot of people feel they want to get the training. But Scarlett, I mean, I'm not competing with Scarlett Johansson or in any way, shape, or form.
In no way.
But I did was like, I can't believe, like, I'm right after her. I mean, I know, I can't. I'm like lying down on the table. She was like lying down.
That's exciting.
At the same table.
Yeah, no, I make sure to go to my gym. I try to make sure nobody in there is below the age of 70.
That's what
you want. Makes me feel much better.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Yes. You want kind of a later stage.
Yeah, late stage.
Late stage person.
When I get in the pool, I feel like, my God, I'm Spitz.
But Mirror,
or Phelps. I'm dating myself.
I just want to say how strong the fans are. Lulu was made a major mistake with Mirror, and it's still... It's not skipping a beat, because Lulu is a very powerful, strong company.
Guys, getting back to China and Tesla and Musk, Tesla share's not down that much. You know, it was a fairly negative story in the Journal about market share in China and the pressure they're under, BYD, that big Chinese automaker, and the fact that the domestic brands, particularly in EV, are becoming stronger, and that they're not, Carl, presenting at this auto show where they did a couple of years ago.
Meanwhile, Jonas is out today looking at the number of EVs that will be eligible for the tax credit. Yeah. As of today, I think it's 10.
Yep.
And you can sort of understand why they've been cutting price.
Right. Americans doing well. I mean, as we're union country, you know, the president said, I am a unionist. Well, it's good for Ford. That helps Ford.
Yeah. Phil LeBeau did that yesterday for us.
About
10. Quite a few will not be eligible for it at all. Some will be eligible for half of the, it's $7,200.
But it's something worth monitoring, because Ford is the one that has the biggest delta, I think.
What do you mean by that?
Well, no, I'm saying that Ford is the one that this is their year. And this is just gravy. But this is the year. They're looking for a run rate. They just wanted to say point blank, we are number two to Tesla.
Right.
On a run rate of 600,000 coming out of this year. And
right.
Anything that helps them is going to make it so that they are going to realize the dream, because right now the stock is off.
Guys, coming off the call, the Bank of America call, obviously we talked about Bank of America, we talked about Goldman at the top of the show, but we're getting a Moynihan, and always an important comment from him in terms of what they're seeing in the economy, given card spending, given so many other metrics that they can look at in real-time data. First part of the quarter, first quarter being a little bit softer. So far in April, still early, probably a little lower than it was in the month of March.
March was up big. March was out. March was 9.
In the first part of April here. I'm just going through sort of this very long answer where those are basically the headlines from Moynihan.
That's why it's good if the Fed paused, because we had March was a little strong. Go back down in April. Let's just let it be like this.
You don't need to whisper to me. You can tell everybody.
This is a good level.
This is a good level.
Good level.
You're happy with this level.
Yeah, good level.
You want a little softer because you think the Fed will back off.
Okay. Meantime, Solomon's on the call saying the worst of banking volatility is behind us.
Yes.
There is a higher risk of credit contraction, and we continue to be cautious of the economic outlook. Interesting. Hatzius has had a note, their chief economist, looking at the debt ceiling today, Jim, where you look at tax receipts, if they remain as weak as they've been, you might end up hitting the ceiling in the first part of June, would raise the prospect of, can you get a short-term extension done?
Oh, my God, that's going to kill the rally. Wow.
It'll bring it It'll bring it into focus sooner, right, perhaps, than had been anticipated.
Right. And again, on Goldman, just in the first quarter of 2022, yep, their FICC revenues were 79% larger than Bank of America. Okay. Now they reverted to 15%, which is more normal for the last few years. I'm saying that 2022 was a bad compare, so I remember at that point. Bank of America was really great. Look, the market's suddenly taken an ugly turn here.
Has it?
That, no, I'm saying the financials all.
Oh, the financials, yeah.
But I just think the financials are really, they're all better than I thought. Goldman, except for Goldman.
Let's wrap up some media, guys. Netflix tonight. Right. Deutsche goes 135 Disney. This incredible note out of Atlantic about our parent rolling in a WBD acquisition and spin.
That's David's world. I was going to take the Disney. That was,
listen, I mean, we've had a number of upgrades lately of our parent company. Thank you so much. We'll take it. It's the only stock we can own, of course. I'd like to point that out. But we'll see. You know, I continue to, on the other side, video subs are not profitable particularly, but at the same time, it's not great when you have a bunch of cable networks to watch the universe of subscribers declined dramatically. I continue to hear that the pace of cord cutting has picked up in this quarter. We'll see when we get the numbers. But yeah, Carl, I mean, listen, it's way early to talk about a potential acquisition of Warner Brothers Discovery, but it is something, obviously, that many people believe Brian Roberts, who runs Comcast, would be interested in. It would require a lot of maneuvering, including, because clearly you'd be bringing it together.
President.
Yes, and then there's very much a question on the antitrust front or the FCC front, whether or not it would actually even be possible to happen. They do talk about the sum of the parts at 44, and then they say if there were an acquisition of WBD, you add $8 to that. They even seem to be giving some value to Peacock, saying losses are peaking this year, and there's going to be growth in broadband pricing and business services as well. 5% share account reduction, anyhow, all of which gets to a higher rating from this company, Atlantic Equity.
Maybe some improving in the housing sector as well, which we kind of got today. Finally, as for Disney, Jim, the DeSantis comments continue floating. New taxes, new tolls, building prisons nearby, not allowing them to inspect their own rides.
It is baffling, and there are other networks. I think they're devoting 100% of their coverage to this. But all I can tell you is that this Deutsche Bank piece says there's an inflection coming in the third quarter. And for those of us, my chapter says it, are saying that Bob Iger, that's the quarter of breakout for margins for both parks and for entertainment. And I think the Deutsche Bank piece is going to be right. This is not the quarter. This will not be a great quarter, but the next quarter is when you expect the big breakout. And I think it's a very smart piece.
It's interesting. I mean, Iger, in his Time 100 interview, suggested that the Florida issue is not a go to the mattresses moment for us, but that hasn't seemed to cool the rethink on the other side.
No, somebody must want like zinc.
DeSantis sees it as an opportunity to sort of continue to build his reputation.
All I can tell you is that Iger has tremendous command of how to talk about things, and every time he says that DeSantis is a bad businessman, that resonates with people. We want business people to be politics, and we want governors to have business sense, and Iger's saying this guy's a terrible businessman. These things are the type of things, if you're a business person, you would say he's terrible.
Iger said he was a terrible businessman.
Well, I mean, I'm going to put a prison next to you. Is that good for the state?
No, it's
retributive. The state's the biggest employer. Why don't I just wipe out the biggest employer by putting a prison next to the Magic King?
Probably not going to happen.
But I'm saying that's bad for business.
Take a look at bonds this morning as the Dow's gone red here. 10-year yield actually lower now, back to 3.57. Not the busiest morning on the eco front, but we will hear from Bowman at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Meantime, don't miss Atlanta Fed President Bostic as well, coming up at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be right back. Jim mentioned J.B. Hunt a while ago, these comments yesterday on the double miss, saying they got deflationary price pressure and inflationary cost pressure has resulted in some volatility last 24 hours. This morning up 1%, as we'll watch the transports. Not the last transport we'll get this week.
Oh, it's a very exciting moment. Very exciting.
Meantime, Dow's down 65, holding 41.65. We're back after a break. Time for Jim and Stop Trading.
Yeah, last week I commented that the refiners were making obscene amount of money. You know, Marathon, Pete, and Valero. And this morning, we got a note from Wells saying, this is probably about as good as it gets. I like this kind of reporting because what it says is basically when oil went down to 60, the spread was really big for them because you paid the same amount at the gas pump, but oil's come back up. And I think I love research which just says, hey, you know what? It's a commodity business. Don't get too cocky. Take some profits. People should take
profits. Yeah, interesting. Arbob has made a run here. I mean, close to the highs of the year.
Yes.
6 months.
So this is a nice place to take some nice profits in Valero. Right. Good call. Good call.
How about tonight?
Okay, so I have Jen Droso. She's got her big meeting, Signet. Signet, the turnaround there is extraordinary. And Sean Boyd, people don't talk enough about gold. We can talk about Bitcoin going over 31,000, whatever. But gold is so back. It's just so back. It's incredible. We got to talk about it. I'm putting all the anybody. Pan American Silver, I would have liked to have them on. That's a very good company. But I'm putting every gold company on that I can find because it's back. Maybe bigger than ever.
It's back.
This time it's personal. Jim, we'll see you at 6. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time tonight. When we come back, more reaction to the earnings out of B of A and Goldman, both stocks moving lower as the Dow's down 90. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
National Outlet Shopping Day is back. Join us June 8th and 9th at Simon Premium Outlets nationwide. Score thousands of can't-miss deals from brands you love all weekend long. They've got up to 65% off every day, and the National Outlet Shopping Day deals are even better. Visit premiumoutlets.com/NOSD to find a premium outlet near you. That's premiumoutlets.com/NOSD.